Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning Iyov Perek Lamedala, the 34th chapter in the book of Iyov. And now we move on to the second of Elihu's four speeches. Elihu, of course, is the fourth friend of Iyov and is found in the middle. He disagrees with Iyov and he disagrees with the other three friends of Iyov. In this Perek of 37 Psukim, it's on the longer side. He now addresses Iyov, but he asks the friends to listen in. And he says, you know, it's sort of, he asks them to lean in. Shimu chachomim yelav yodim ha'azinu li. Please listen into exactly what I'm about to say. Because he is attacking a number of assumptions that were made on Iyov's part, but if the friends were sensitive enough to hear, they would also understand as well. And in this, he attacks a number of different assumptions that Iyov made. Now, to be frank, this perek is a very hard perek to read. There are a lot of very different ideas that seem to be spoken, and some of the psukim seem to stand alone by themselves, and the trick really is to try to weave them together into patterns or themes. So each of the Mefarshim does it in a slightly different way. So for example, if you were to read the Malbim's way of reading this perek, it would be a little bit different to the Mitzvot David or the Ralbag's version of this perek, in terms of grouping the arguments in different sections. So there's not going to be one way to summarize this perek. I'm going to try to give a general overview, but again, there are different permutations of slotting together different psukim. The general idea that the Mitzvot David explains is that this perek is a demonstration that nothing occurs outside of the purview of Hashem's rule. The way the Malbim frames that is that ultimately there's no such thing that like Iyov had argued that Hashkocha Pratis has limitations. That's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately controls and knows about every detail in this universe. He doesn't leave things up to chance. Let's look at the perek itself. The way I'm going to do it is I'm breaking it up into eight separate steps, eight steps where he makes points. So the first point he makes is in the first four psukim. This is the preamble that he asks everyone to carefully listen in. He addresses some of the claims of Iyov, and he says, listen, if you listen to like a court case, considering all the issues, mishpot nivacharalonu neid'obeinenu matov. If you listen very carefully and you spend a little bit of time thinking about it, we'll know what really is ultimately good. Now this leads him into his first argument. So this is now the second point of the perek, and it is found in Psukim Hey to Yud. In this, it claims addresses one of the claims of Iyov, which was that Iyov suggested that since he was innocent, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed his judgment from him and allowed evil to happen to him. But not as a function of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but as a function of, so to speak, the zodiac, the mazalos, all the other things which are allowed to give rain. Which essentially means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is withdrawing his hashkacha in order, his providence, in order for this to occur. That's one of the things that Iyov said earlier on in his response, or in his initial speech, way back when in Perek Gimel. So Elihu asks on this, he says, can a person of the stature of Iyov be allowed to drink the waters of sinners? The way he puts it is very, very strongly, but oleches im anshei resha, to go with evil doers. In the end of the day, because essentially what you're saying is, as the Malbim points out, is this is a slippery slope. Once you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved, once you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking a break, so to speak, then what's to stop you going the full way and saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely uninvolved? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer involved in the world, whichever way you want to take it. Rashi points out that in this section you actually do a lot of sympathy. It's not that he's simply accusing Iyov like the other friends did. There is a sympathy to him. He says, you know what? You suffered terribly. You suffered, you know, ki mi gever ki Iyov, yishte lag kamayim. You not only have you suffered physically, but emotionally, you've had scorn, you've had mockery, you've had drink like water. And in the end, he claims that he says that Iyov's claim against the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to be misinterpreted, and therefore that was a mistake. So this is the first point he makes, is essentially an actual conversation. We now move on to the next point, and this point over here is in Psukim Yud Aleph to Tes Vav. In this, he talks about the justice of Hashem being perfect and impacting and affecting everyone. There's this very vast network of justice that is impacting everyone, and it's well-tuned, it's consolidated, that everybody is under this. The way that Rav Schwab understands this is that this is a movement away from suffering as a function of justice, but rather suffering as a form of nisaya, not for sins, but for improving one's standing. This is a very, very important pivot over here, because you see, the only realm of understanding up till now in the friend's perspective, when you looked at the words of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofer, essentially what they were saying is, if there's suffering, it must be punishment. If there's punishment, it must be crime. And therefore, Eov, if you're saying you're crimeless, you are lying. That's essentially the argumentation that was being built up now against Eov. However, what's really being understood over here, according to Elihu, is he's introducing the notion of a Nisayon, that a person can be tested not because they did something wrong, but rather to make them ultimately come through this, like Avraham Avinu. He wasn't being punished, according to most of the Mefarshim, by having the Akedah. Rather, it was a Nisayon. It was to bring out some inner strength, which only through the crucible of this experience could they come to existence. He then goes on to the next point he makes. And in this point, he says that this is from Psukim Tess Zion to Yud Tess. And in this point, he says, you know, he talks about the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is full and complete, which circumvents or circumscribes the entire earth. And there's one exception, is that sometimes you'll see, you know, a good person who dies, and then ultimately, this person, when let's say we see a good person who doesn't deserve to die, where does that come from? He says, you know where it must be? It says there must be a notion of the Maaseh Satan. Now again, this is a particular reading of this. There's other ways to read this. But the way that Rav Schwab understands it is, if you look at this over here, is in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ha'af Sonei Mishpat Yachavosh. When it talks about the one who hates justice, it refers to an entity who hates justice, and that is the Satan. And that's at the end of Pasuk Yud Tes again, framing the section, Ki Ma'aseh Yodov Kulam. When you look at all these things where good people succeed, or are succeeded by evil people, that is Maaseh Yodov of the Satan. Meaning, understand, Eov, there's another reason why this is all happening over here. You assume that it's only you and God, and therefore it doesn't make sense. But you know what? Maybe it isn't just you and God. Maybe there's a third entity, which is actually the truth. That we as the reader know there's the truth, that there is a third entity. But Eov has not entertained that, and that's what Elihu is introducing over here. He moves it to his next point, Pasuk Chof to Chof Gimel. In this section, he talks about how you can sometimes see kings will die overnight, and their subjects will realign their loyalty in a moment. He says, and a person can lose anything and everything at any point in time. People are deeply vulnerable. He also notes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deeply cares about people, but it isn't always obvious. But ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not oblivious to their plight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts justice based on actions, not on any other extraneous matters beyond which they deserve. So even though sometimes it looks like a human being may be suffering, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absent, that doesn't mean I could say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absent from all of their life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have a bigger cheshbon. There's a larger synthesization which needs to be going on. Psukim Chav Dalet to Chav Zayin is our next section. In this section, he talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes, and we see this all the time, remove good people from power, whether it be political power, the leadership of an enterprise, and evil people will take over. And he says the reason for this, as an example, is where you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted these bad people to fail dismally but publicly. And in order to do that, he needed to give them a space to fail publicly to demonstrate this. But this is an example where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions don't seem to be clear. You say, wait a second, why did such a good, upstanding, honest leader get replaced by such a nefarious, terrible person who's only wreaking havoc? And the answer is there's a bigger picture afoot, there's a bigger plan afoot to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to seek that justice. It's very hard to see us. He goes on to give other examples. He says, one can see situations in Psukim Chof Ches to Lamed, where a person, where there are impoverished people, and they're calling out, Lovi Olav Tzakas Dal V'Tzakas Aniyim Yishma, and he listens to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to them, but Hu Yashkit. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes will be quiet. He won't respond. Umi Arshia, are you going to now accuse God? Are you going to now incriminate HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not answering? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding in certain situations? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us for so much of the time of our lives, but when he's silent, then we suddenly castigate him. What about the times when he was with us? Do we incriminate him for that? That's another argument. Again, the perspective is there's a much broader perspective of how Hashem operates. Don't assume just because you don't see it, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one circumstance, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answerable to you. We now get to Psukim Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis, where he makes a very, very strong argument. And this is two prescriptions about dealing with pain and suffering. Number one is, Ki El Kale heomer nosasi v'loyechbal. Number one is accepted. Realize that it's in Nisayon. It's not because of something you did, and so therefore just bear it. The other option is anshei levav yomruli, and those people who are sensitive of heart will say v'gever chacham ishomer. I apologize. I'm skipping ahead. In pasuk lamebeis, it's biladayech ezeato hareini im ovel poalti loyasif. And if a person is suffering as a function of their sins, a person should look inside and see what is it that I can do to correct it. But not every time can that be answered, because sometimes it is not as a function of a punishment. He now goes on to Psukim Lamed Gimel to Lamed Hey, where Elihu now points out in this section with that he addresses Eov directly. Ha me imcha yishalmena ki mo'asta ata. Because Akash Baruch Hu now is supposed to stop his judgment and explain it to you, Eov. You're saying Akash Baruch Hu needs to come to the courthouse and explain it all to you. That's what you've been asking him? Wait a second. You know what? So why should you have the right to understand justice from your subjective perspective and not me? Eov, you're demanding justice Akash Baruch Hu. But you know what? There's many people. In fact, right now there's 7 billion people on the earth actually transcribing this to contemporary times. Does every single person deserve to know exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates the world? They have the license to know that. What about everybody else? Why do they deserve it more than anybody else to have that objectified? And finally, he points out, and this is the last section over here, is Psukim Lamed Vav to Lamed Zayin, the last two Psukim, where he closes off and he says, Avi Yibochein Iyov Anetzach Ad Teshubas Ba'anshei Oven. He turns, and according to many of the Mepharshim, the word Avi means Father, Father in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu test out Eov until he's being convinced. There's different ways of reading this. Maybe it means to say make him suffer more, but it sounds like more that he's demanding or he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Eov the lesson so that Eov will ultimately correct his evil. Because Eov, although perhaps did not mean to speak evil, but by making the accusations that he did, ultimately he was cutting HaKadosh Baruch Hu out and aligning himself with other people who would misunderstand his attempt to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very powerful parak, a lot of very, very complex details and words over here, but we get the general sense of it is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much bigger. Eov, you should have a little more humility when trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions in this world. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.